Matt, let's do this. I want to do if I were Jed for a day. I'm going to give you about four or five scenarios, and I really want to see what you would do if you were Jed Hoyer for the day. Does that sound good?
It sounds good. I'm going to try to be as realistic. I'm not going to do much fantasy baseball.
If I was Jed Hoyer for the day, here's one move I would make to fix this bullpen.
I would trade for Kenley Jansen. I think he's the ideal target. He's a free agent after the year, so he's a rental reliever. The price is not going to be extravagant at all. He's pitching pretty well this spring. He's probably en route to Cooperstown one day, yep. You know, piling up a lot of saves and innings with the Dodgers and the Braves and the Red Sox. So that's the name that's been on my radar really since around opening day. I do think as the AL East, you see the Orioles and Yankees really firming their positions, and the Rays and the Blue Jays starting to ascend a little bit. I think they are going to be in sell mode in Boston, and I think he's the most ideal fit. And then everybody goes down a rung in the ladder, and you have your closer to make the run.
I love it. Okay. I know you talked about Ben Brown being the ninth inning guy.
Can I guess who you're going to say?
Go for it.
Cade Horton.
Yeah. So
which I think is going to happen.
I think so too. I think he's going to get called up quickly, but I really do think based on where this team is at right now, Cade Horton would have amazing value as a late inning guy. And here's the great thing about this. Same approach you were talking about with Ben Brown. Bring him in the sixth inning tie game. Okay, he passes that. Exactly. Bring him in the seventh inning up one run. Okay, he passes that. And just mold him into that. Then by the time we hit the trade deadline, one of two things has happened. He has taken to it and he is a stud. And maybe not even a closer, just an eighth inning guy.
Right.
Maybe the starters are still doing exactly what they're doing right now, dominating. Cool, we don't need you as a starter, but we do need a closer. Well, guess what? Julian Merriweather is probably back as well. Has he been pitching well enough to be the closer? All those things seem to weigh in. But let's assume for a second he doesn't do well and or Ben Brown doesn't do well. Well, guess what? They have so many options. Just go ahead and throw him back into AAA, stretch him back out. Now let's try him as a closer or let's try him as a starter. I mean, look at Javier Assad, right? Like he's decent as a bullpen guy, but he's amazing as a starter. It's not unheard of to think of a guy actually being better as a starter than a reliever. So that's the one move I would make. I would get Cade Horton on the fast track to being a late inning reliever for the Cubs here in 24.
Yeah. I would be surprised when Cade Horton comes up, if he starts, I think he's definitely going to be a bullpen piece. I'm already starting to get excited about it.
Yeah.
And I would venture to say, I don't think it's a reach at all. If they keep winning, the chances of him being promoted actually increase. And it's like you know, it's a good problem to have. You add a good player to what's the good things that are happening. So Sam first brought this up on the show last week, and we need to do more on it. And I need to still do my homework, but I think the biggest piece of evidence that Horton is coming up, especially if they win, and he's absolutely going to pitch out of the pen, is that when the Brewers started getting good, do you know who some key relievers were in like 17, 18, 19 for them?
I'm going to just guess Woodruff and Burns.
That's correct.
Yeah.
They pitched exclusively out of the bullpen.
There you go.
I think history will repeat.
Okay. I like it. All right. Next one. If I were Jed for a day, organizationally, what would you change about this Cubs organization?
Ooh.
Or work on changing?
Yeah, I would say it's something offensively, trying to improve. And I know they have made strides here, but trying to improve the offensive output. And right now, position players in the minors are a strength. But we have a lot of evidence now, and even just players are being more open about it. That jump from AAA to the majors is unlike any other right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so to, you know, obviously there's going to be ebb and flow of a season. But my instinct is to say a larger offensive profile that's sustainable. You know,
I like
and, and they've done it before. You know, they've had guys graduate and they hit the ground running. I'd like to see that happen again.
Cool. I like it. We already talked about mine, kind of. I just want more transparency. I think more back to the Theo days, right? When the Theo days happened, it was, hey, we're coming in, we're revamping this team, get ready to win in like 4 to 5 years. Now, today, you just never really know what's going on. We saw Craig Counsell get hired on day one of free agency, and then the rest of the offseason until right at the end there, we were just like, I don't know. It does Jed think this is the year, right? And then, you know, you also see during this season, Alexander Canario gets optioned back to AAA on his birthday. You're just like, oh my gosh, did the guy know? Like, can we throw a little bit of like some heart into this as well? Like, there's just, to me, there's a lack of transparency to the fans that has made a lot of the fans wonder, well, what are we doing? Are we going all in? Are we just quote unquote making smart business decisions? And if so, what does that mean for success? And I think Theo was very good at communicating that. And Jed seems like he's just still trying to figure out how to be able to effectively communicate that while also run the team. But that's my thought. All right. One player I would give up just about anything at the trade deadline for if I was Jed for that day.
I would say Pete Alonso, who's another rental target of mine.
Okay.
I'm biased because one of my best friends played in the Mets organization, Kevin Kaczmarski.
Okay.
And he came up with Pete Alonso. And so I've been hearing about him for years. You know, I know inside the room and just personality wise, just from Kevin, that he is someone that meshes well easily with others. Nice. And I think his bat at Wrigley would be insane. You know, let's see what happens with Michael Busch. But Morel, if Morel could stay at third, then you get to imagine the possibilities at DH. And if Busch or someone else slides over to DH, Alonso could play first. So, you know, could you imagine they make two trades in late July for Kenley Jansen and Pete Alonso?
That would be wild.
I mean, that would be incredible. And they have the capital to do it if they want. That's the thing.
They do. I'm going to come from a different place on this because I do think there are potential guys coming up that could fill those roles. And if I'm going to give away the farm, if I'm going to give away just about anything, I want control. I want longer term.
Right.
So for that reason, I like Tarek Skubal a ton.
Okay. That's good.
The lefty from Detroit, 99, sometimes hitting triple digits from the left side as a starter. And then if he's not available because Detroit is not in sell mode, I bet you the A's are in sell mode. And I love Mason Miller. I think there's a lot of opportunity for him to start eventually, but at least now he's a legitimate closer at the major league level. All right. One player that you would send packing today if you were Jed for the day.
I actually think this is a fairly easy one. At first, when I saw the question, I was like, shoot, who's that going to be? But I think with the emergence of Matt Shaw, hopefully this summer, I think it's an easy choice. Nick Madrigal.
I thought you were going to say that. Yeah.
You know, Morel solidifies third. Shaw keeps raking. Where's Madrigal play? Nowhere.
Yep.
So I think that's an easy one for me.
I don't disagree with that at all. I still see a little bit of value from him right now. Yeah. As you know, Christopher Morel has made an error in a long time and has less errors than Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson, which is just wild to think about.
The last episode, you said Morel's last error was what, game five?
It was game five. Yeah. That's which is crazy, right? Because we still hold our breath, but he's been doing well. He's been locking it down. I think Matt Mervis has to go for Matt Mervis's purpose. I think he has
like a reset.
He's got a lot of potential. I just don't think it's with this team. As soon as Michael Bush was signed, I was like, that's basically the same player over there. And I was really shocked when they pulled him up to then DFA Garrett Cooper. I was shocked with that move. Very shocked. But Matt Mervis, good dude, comes from a good family. Got to meet his dad over at the Mets game. I feel like Matt Mervis right now is his own worst enemy. And he just needs a reset and he needs an opportunity to go find his way somewhere else. And I wouldn't be mad if he came up 2 years later and was hitting 40 bombs, because I don't think that's going to happen with the Cubs. I just don't.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right. And last question here. If you were Jed for the day, who would be your top priority to extend on that day?
Yeah, maybe get creative with it like the Brewers and Orioles have, and maybe do like a Cade Horton extension.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, someone we haven't even seen.
Yeah, yeah, just like with Corbin Carroll and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and Churio with the Brewers.
Yeah, I like it.
I think the Orioles did it with one guy. So yeah, I'd say Cade Horton.
I like it. Mine was way less out of the box. It's Justin Steele. But I love that idea for sure. Especially with where pitchers are at today. If we can get Cade or someone like him at a discount,
right?
Knowing that you might not get an entire season of him 1 year. I think, didn't Cade already have Tommy John or some sort of surgery?
Yeah, in college, already? I believe.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I like that a lot.